بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من جر ثوبه خيلاء لم ينظر الله إليه يوم القيامة. فقال أم سلمة: فكيف تصنع النساء بذيولهن؟ قال: يرخين شبرا. قالت: إذن تنكشف أقدامهن. قال: فيرخينه ذراعا لا يزدنا. رواه أبو داود والترمذي، وقال: حديث حسن صحيح. This brings us to the last hadith in this chapter, bulk of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brought in this chapter, pertain to the length of our clothing, and particularly what we call the loincloth or the izar or the lower garment. It's quite clear from all these ahadith that the preferred length of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to, in our terminology, the length of the pants, is that the Shariat allows you up till the ankle. However, the preferred sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was nisfu saq. Nisfu saq, in other words, middle of the calves, halfway between the knee and the ankle. This was the length of, call it the lungi or the loincloth or the ijar or the pants of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The occasion of Bayatul Ridwan, or what we know more famously as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Those of us who are familiar with the history, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions left Madinah Munawwara to perform Umrah. There was no intention of any jihad or any confrontation on the battlefield. However, the people of Makkah refused entry to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sahaba were camped at Hudaybiyah, and Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was sent as the representative of the Muslims to Makkah Mukarramah. Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time was given permission by the people of Makkah, because of his family ties, etc., that now that you are in Makkah, you may perform Umrah. So he said, that is not possible. I have not come with that objective. I have come as the representative of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not perform Umrah, I, Usman radiallahu anhu, will not perform Umrah. In that, an interaction took place between him and his cousin Aban. So Aban noticed that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala whose clothing was halfway between his knee and his ankle. In those days, this was something that was associated with being in the lower rungs of society. In other words, you don't have much prominence or status. This is why you would keep your clothing like that. To them it was an act of pride to lengthen their clothing. So Aban commented on the length of the izar of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said, why don't you lengthen your clothing? Why are you behaving like these, in other words, these lower class citizens? To this Uthman radiallahu ta'ala narrated, and he mentioned quite clearly that Hakada nasnahu sahibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I have observed that my companion Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is how he keeps his clothing. His izar is halfway between his knee and his ankle. And in everything, we observe what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does, فَنَتَبِّعُ أَثَرَهُ, and down to the last letter, we implement and follow what we have observed and seen in the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this incident shows us two things quite clearly. One, the personal practice of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it can be from that deduce the general body of Sahaba, what would be the length of their izar. And secondly, quite clearly, they said that we associated this with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I, when we hear this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immediately there should be this jazba and zeal within us for us to implement and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this concept or this idea, mashallah, we're listening to all these ahadith, and yet still to be coming to the masjid, or still to have our clothing beneath the ankle, still making salah like that, or like we observe some people walk in and just fold it once or twice, make salah, and then after salah it's gone back to the same length. This is something that actually does not bode very well, does not speak very well of our commitment to implementing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, in conclusion, the final hadith in that particular chapter, the narrator is Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that person who will lengthen his clothing out of pride, Allah will not look at him on the day of judgment. This Allah not looking, we have discussed this many, many times. Generally, the interpretation ulama give, Allah will not look with mercy. Allah will deprive such a person of his mercy on the day of judgment. This is a sufficient warning for us. In this hadith, the word khuyala is mentioned to do it out of pride. But we've discussed this many times already, that the very act is considered to be an act of pride. So whether you have convinced yourself that you are not doing it out of pride, this is not a sufficient excuse to not practice upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, who is one of the Azwaj Mutahharat, the mothers of the believers, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she posed a question when she heard this. Man jarra thawbahu khuyala, lam yandhur illahu ilayhi yawm al-qiyamah. That ya Rasulullah, you have said that that person who lengthens their clothing, Allah will not look at them with the mercy on the day of judgment. What must the women do with regards to the hem of their clothing? This is a very important point for us to understand. The prohibition of lengthening one's clothing is for men. For women, the Shariat commands that they lengthen their clothing. Ya ayyuha an-nabi qul li azwajik wa banatik wa nisa'il mu'minin yudnina 'alayhinna min jalabibihin dhalika adna yu'rafna fala yu'dhain wa kana Allahu ghafurur rahima. Allah clearly commands the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the general body of Muslim women. Direct command of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, Ya ayyuha an-nabi, O my Nabi, tell them, yudnina 'alayhinna min jalabibihin. Jilbab was a form of cloak that the women at that time would wear, which is obviously different interpretations, whether it would start from the shoulder or from the head. But generally, ulama say it was like a chadar, a shawl, from the head downwards. And Allah Ta'ala commands the women of the ummah to lengthen this and cover themselves, drape themselves, cover themselves completely with this when they go into public. So with regards to how long should be the covering, Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ya Rasulullah, the hem of the garments of women, what must they do with regards to that? How long should it be? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yurkhina shibra. Let them lengthen it to the extent of one hand span. Lengthen from what point? We look at the earlier part of the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the prohibition, lengthening your clothes beyond the ankles out of pride for men is prohibited. So women lengthen it by one hand span from where? In other words, from the ankle by one hand span, their clothing should be longer, so that it covers the feet. To this, look at the intelligence of the observation of Umm Salma radiallahu anha. If you look at where your ankle is and one hand span length, some section of the feet will still be exposed. So this is the observation that she makes. She says, إِذَنْ تَنْكَشِفُ أَقْدَامُهُنْ. Ya Rasulullah, if they are going to do that, then it is still possible that someone will be able to see a section of their feet. The feet will not be fully covered. To this Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَيُرْخِينَهُ ذِرَاعًا لَا يَزِدْنَا. Then let it hang one forearm's length. These are terminologies that refer to length. Like we get centimeters and inch, etc. In those days, what was in vogue, for example, we find this in a lot of ahadith. Sometimes shibra, then zira'a. Shibr, generally, different opinions ulama have given, but like the more common one, one hand span. Zira'a, one arm's length. In other words, from the wrist up to the elbow. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, which is basically just under a foot. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, up to that length they may go, but not longer than that. Not longer than that. So if a woman has to, from the ankle, one arm's length or one forearm's length, lengthen her clothing, then obviously her foot will be completely covered. Why don't go longer than that? Because then it becomes an impediment to her actually walking. And it is possible that the clothes will become soiled and they will become napak, etc. What is very, very important is a logical question that such ahadith raise. First, the point of the sabak of the hadith, prohibition for men to cover. Women, it's a command of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that their feet must be covered, must not be exposed. And look at the importance that Sahaba placed on this, that the wife of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking explicitly about this. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, up to a forearm's length, don't go longer than that, but cover your feet. Now today we find contemporary Islam, modern Muslims, we want to keep up with the age or the time, etc. And behind that is this plot of the enemies of Islam to deprive our women of a very, very great wealth which has been bestowed upon them, and that is the wealth of haya, of modesty. Woman's protection is in covering herself. Obviously, her mahram, her husband, etc., she can reveal herself. But other than that, when she goes in public, she has to cover herself. So now this question is raised, is the covering of the face essential in Shariat or not? This has become an issue of great debate. Behind it is asal baat, nafs nahi maan rahe. The nafs doesn't want to accept. However, ask yourself one logical question, that if the Shariat places so much emphasis on covering the feet, then it is logical. Why cover their feet? Because of the possibility of fitna. So when you go in public, make sure your feet are completely covered. How is it even logical to say that Islam will advocate cover your feet but leave your face open? It doesn't make sense. Where is the greater imkan of fitna?